Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Access to Counsel, a critical need for immigrant children, families, and asylum seekers. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question and answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone, and you may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Please note this call may be recorded, and I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn your conference over to Mr. Greg Chen. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Everyone, this is Greg Chen. I'm the Director of Advocacy for the American Immigration Lawyers Association. Thank you so much for taking the time to join this call about the issue of access to counsel for individuals in immigration proceedings and about the introduction of an important bill, the Fair Day in Court for Kids bill. As the operator mentioned, this call is being recorded and will be available by link afterward, both for the registrants and for the public. Due to limited time, we will be giving priority to questions for reporters. So when the queue first opens, we will want reporters first to ask the questions. Another housekeeping measure, Senator Menendez, who is joining us, will need to get off the call midway, so we'll be giving him the opportunity to take some questions before we finish with the entire lineup of speakers. With that, I will begin by introducing the speakers and then giving brief remarks, including a quick summary of the bill. So in addition to myself, we are joined today by four speakers. There is one addition whose name is Carla, and I will talk more about her. She was not listed in the initial press advisory. To begin with, our first speaker will be Senator Menendez of New Jersey. He really needs no introduction, especially in the world of immigration law, where he has demonstrated longstanding interest and commitment to reform. He's the only Democratic senator who is Latino, and he has led on all the various efforts to pass comprehensive immigration reform, including having co-sponsored the most recent reform bill that passed the Senate in 2013. After Senator Menendez, we'll have Wendy Young, who is the president of Kids in Need of Defense, or KIND, which provides legal services and advocacy to thousands of immigrant and refugee children who arrive alone in the U.S. each year. Ms. Young has spent more than a couple of decades working to reform immigration refugee laws, and she's worked previously for Senator Kennedy, for the UNHCR, and also for several advocacy groups. After Wendy Young will be Wendy Cervantes, who is the Vice President of Immigration and Child Rights for the First Focus Campaign for Children. First Focus is a bipartisan advocacy organization dedicated to making children a priority. First Focus has been working actively on the Central American refugee crisis, advocating for improved screening mechanisms, access to counsel, access to high-quality post-release services, equal access to education, and an end to family detention. The last speaker I'll mention is Carla, which is a pseudonym for Carla. She is a mother who is currently detained in Texas and is being represented by the CARA Pro Bono Project. She has an interpreter because she will be speaking in Spanish. Carla and her two-year-old daughter first fled Guatemala in September 2014. She and her daughter were detained and deported back to Guatemala. But then, again in 2016, this January, they fled Guatemala again, where they faced threats of murder and kidnapping by gang members, and now they fear being deported back to Guatemala. So those are the four speakers. I will now give brief remarks, including a summary of the bill. So today, Senators Reed, Durbin, Murray, Menendez, Leahy, Franken, and Hirono introduced the Fair Day in Court for Kids bill. And this bill is very significant because while our country has one of the most complicated immigration systems in the world, it has a great flaw in it, which is that it does not guarantee counsel for those facing removal. Recently, statistics show that 70% of families had no counsel in their hearings, and 50% of children had no counsel. In the last 2 years, about 112,000 families and unaccompanied children went through proceedings without a lawyer. You may remember the raids that happened in January, where 121 individuals in family units were arrested. Well, only 47% of them, less than half, were represented by counsel in the removal cases. So you might ask, how can a woman with an infant child in her arms who just crossed the border be expected to tell her story to fit into legal categories like persecution or particular social group, especially if that woman speaks no English and has no knowledge of our asylum system? Trying to win asylum without a lawyer is like playing Russian roulette. In fact, children with lawyers are 5 times more likely to win asylum. Asylum applicants in fast-track expedited removal proceedings are 12 times more likely. Nobody should face those odds, and this bill will halt that injustice of what has been an unfair game of deportation roulette. What does the bill do? Very quickly, it expands access to counsel for individuals in removal proceedings, including anyone in detention and in CBP border facilities, as well as for people who are subject to those fast-track removal procedures like expedited removal or reinstatement of removal that rush people through the process. The bill also requires the appointment of counsel for unaccompanied children, for vulnerable groups such as those who are victims of torture, abuse, and violence, or those with disabilities. And thirdly, it requires appointment of counsel for where it's necessary to ensure fairness and the efficient resolution of the case. Finally, the bill does several things that I'll mention only briefly. It expands and strengthens legal orientation presentation programs, post-release services for those who are released from custody, and also it strengthens the collection of data about legal representation. So that is the Senate bill in a quick nutshell. Last thing I'll mention of substance is that on the House of Representatives side of our Congress, 3 members of Congress, Representatives Lofgren, Gutierrez, and Roybal Allard, plan to introduce a companion bill to this Senate bill shortly after the upcoming congressional recess. With those initial remarks, I am going to stop here and turn it over to Senator Menendez. And as I mentioned, after he speaks, we'll take a quick pause and take a few questions for Senator Menendez. Senator Menendez?
Thank you, Greg, and I appreciate you and Ayla organizing this call. I appreciate the other participants as well. And I've got about 8 minutes before the clock runs out of my vote. So let me, having had a very good job in outlining the essence of the bill, let me just make a few points. The goal is very clear here. We want to ensure that unaccompanied minors and vulnerable individuals have appointed counsel, and that those in detention receive legal orientation on their rights and responsibilities under our immigration laws. The fact is that there continues to be a humanitarian crisis brewing in Central America, and that's forcing women and children to flee El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, the most violent countries in the world. In fact, the State Department announced in January that it would expand a refugee program to these countries because they said, quote, violence by criminal gangs in the 3 countries had reached crisis proportions and required a broader regional response. So that recently announced refugee program is a good step in acknowledging that this is a refugee crisis. And at the end of the day, we need a comprehensive response to address this challenge, but we also need a full and fair access to the U.S. asylum system for those Central American families and children who reach our border. And this bill offers some protection to those most vulnerable who seek asylum. The fact is children cannot afford to hire an attorney, very often can't find pro bono counsel, are forced to navigate a complex adversarial immigration system on their own, while the government is always represented by well-qualified trained attorneys. And it's common sense that a child should be appointed counsel to make their legal case. There's a recent study that found that represented children have a 73% success rate in immigration court as compared to only 15% of unrepresented children. And furthermore, studies show that children who are represented have a much higher appearance rate in court, 92.5% versus 27.5% for unrepresented children. So it's compelling in both ways. And according to the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, a majority of recently arrived unaccompanied children are eligible for legal protection that would allow them to lawfully remain in the United States. And let me say that the consequences of being denied asylum when you have the right to it because of a lack of representation can be fatal. This is literally a life or death situation for many refugees. There are many media reports that from January 2014 to September of 2015, 83 people who were deported to the Northern Triangle were murdered upon return. That's pretty amazing. So I think we need to recognize that we have a refugee crisis, not just simply a border security issue. We can regulate our borders and uphold our values by providing due process and asylum to those fleeing some of the most dangerous countries in the world. And this legislation is a good step in ensuring meaningful due process and leveling the legal playing field. I'm concerned that the increased emphasis on law enforcement approach to address the increase of unaccompanied minor children and families may not actually protect them from the violence that characterizes their home countries. And the DHS immigration raids have had a chilling effect to the larger immigrant community. I hear it all the time in New Jersey. And I'm deeply concerned with the administration's decisions to conduct home raids targeting women and children. Deporting these families to a region in which they fled extreme violence, I view, is just plain wrong, and I'll continue to fight those harsh tactics. In the interim, having these children and mothers have the ability to have legal counsel is incredibly important. And I'll close by saying the concepts of raids that this is going to and deportations for those who may very well be eligible for asylum is going to somehow deter future arrivals is just plain wrong. If I'm living in Central America and my choice is for me and my child to stay and die or flee and take a chance, I'm going to go ahead and take a chance, no matter what deportation policies the United States is carrying out. And so in order to make our asylum law one that is truly accessible, you need to have a representation of counsel, and that's why we want to do that for these children and mothers.
Thank you, Senator Menendez, for joining us and for your comments. Operator, we'd like to take a few questions, assuming Senator Menendez has time for that. Please go ahead with the first reporter in the queue. And Senator Menendez, please let us know when your time is up.
Certainly.
Operator?
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Our first question will come from Maria Pina with Law Opinion. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you for doing this call. I just have some clarification questions here. One, my understanding is that there are two federal laws right now in place that actually do give people in detention access to legal aid, legal assistance. The point is that the wording of the laws says that it's not at the expense of the government. So I was wondering if this particular bill, who foots the bill for the legal assistance that the families and unaccompanied minors would have? And two, what are the real chances of this bill making it through Congress, given the political climate and past GOP bills against these minors? Is this just simply a messaging bill? And thank you so much again for doing this call.
From my perspective, it is not simply a messaging bill. Two, as it relates to the pay, who will pay, it will be a government-backed attorney. So the government would help in these individuals be able to have their legal rights be argued in an immigration court. And as it relates to the possibilities, yes, we will have strong resistance from Republicans that have shown themselves in every iteration to be anti-immigrant. But I will hope that the administration will also join us at the end of the day. And the possibility of including this in some must-pass legislation is something I'm going to work very hard with. And when I have my whole leadership on this legislation, including Senator Reid, who's the lead author. It gives us the leverage to be talking to the White House to insist on this as one of the elements of any must-pass bill. And we have seen in other must-pass bills where things that the president didn't like got in and things that the Republicans didn't like got in. There's no reason this cannot be one of those moments.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I have 1 minute left on the clock to get to vote to the floor. So anyone who has a question for me, Greg, I'm happy to have them call Juan Pachon in my office, and I will respond to it.
Great. Thank you, Senator Menendez. Any final comments from you, Senator, before you just...
No, I'll leave it at that.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
We greatly appreciate the Senator's time for being on the call, and we'll now turn... the queue or the speaking over to the other speakers for their insights. And Wendy Young of KIND, would you please join us?
Great. Thank you, Greg, and thank you, everyone, for joining the call today. KIND greatly appreciates the leadership of Senator Reid, Senator Menendez, and the other co-sponsors of the Fair Day in Court for Kids Act of 2016 introduced this morning. This legislation recognizes that the best way to ensure fair and just decisions for unaccompanied children in their immigration proceedings is by making sure that they have counsel by their side. Immigration court is sometimes described as being like a traffic court with life or death consequences. This is perhaps most especially true for children who have migrated hundreds or thousands of miles on their own. Children from Central America, who represent the vast majority of our caseload these days, tell us over and over again that they have faced rape, abduction, murder of loved ones, and threats to their own lives. Many have first turned to law enforcement in their own home countries for help and have been turned away. They therefore have no choice but to run for their lives. Like refugees from Africa, the Middle East, or other parts of the world, these children don't want to leave, they have to leave. Many come to the United States for a very good reason. We stand as a beacon of safety and freedom. We have a reputation for respecting the rule of law and the fundamental rights of all people. For unaccompanied children, this justice must start in our immigration courts. Without a just decision there, the future holds little hope for these vulnerable children. Half of unaccompanied children currently face proceedings without counsel. KIND has witnessed children as young as 3 years old appear without a lawyer, and the consequences are stark. Children who are represented are 5 times more likely to gain asylum or some other form of protection under our immigration laws. These statistics shouldn't surprise us. Anyone who has a child in their family, whether that's a toddler or a teenager, knows that young people need the help of the adults in their lives to navigate life's challenges. And this certainly includes our complex immigration system. Imagine being 16 and having to articulate that you have a, quote, well-founded fear of persecution on account of race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group or political opinion, unquote, as a defense against your deportation. And keep in mind, these are children who are traumatized, confused, and unable to speak English. Frankly, at KIND, we have to closely train seasoned licensed attorneys from major law firms on how to establish such claims, let alone asking a child to do that alone. The Fair Day in Court for Kids Act would close this critical legal services gap once and for all. We need the bill now more than ever. In the last 2 years, more than 100,000 children have come to the United States alone, many of them fleeing unfathomable violence in their communities, largely generated by powerful transnational criminal cartels and gangs and governments that cannot or will not protect them. We recognize that not all unaccompanied children are eligible to remain in the U.S., but each and every one must have fair access to our immigration system, which means having an attorney by their side in order for us to make a true determination about who should be allowed to stay and who can go home safely. Finally, in addition to being the right thing to do from a humanitarian perspective, the legislation will promote greater efficiency and integrity in our immigration system. Immigration judges will be able to move forward on children's cases confident in the knowledge that an attorney has analyzed the facts and applied the law. This legislation is rooted in a core value that we hold dear as a nation, the protection of the most vulnerable, and we must continue to uphold that value. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy. We will now go to the other Wendy, Wendy Cervantes of First Focus. Wendy?
Thank you, Greg. I'm so pleased to join today's call on behalf of the First Focus Campaign for Children. We also applaud Senators Reid, Durbin, Leahy, Menendez, and Murray for introducing the Fair Day in Court for Kids Act. In America, no child should be forced to face a courtroom alone, especially when the outcome may be a matter of life or death. Children are not little adults. This bill would ensure that children seeking protection in the U.S. are guaranteed legal counsel in their immigration proceedings. As advocates for children, we've been urging the administration, as well as Congress, to put the best interests of children first ever since the beginning of the Central American refugee crisis. Children fleeing Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador do so because they have no other choice. These are children who deserve the very best protection our country can provide, yet many continue to go without their fair day in court. And others are returned to the very danger they were trying to flee without adequate assessment. As advocates for children, we've also been gravely concerned with the administration's enforcement-heavy response to this crisis because it puts children in harm's way. We have seen kids go through expedited removal proceedings, often without counsel, children and mothers locked up for months in detention facilities, and communities terrorized by ICE raids in the middle of the night. We've also seen increased enforcement efforts to stop children and families who are seeking help from even reaching the United States. We agree with Senator Menendez that deterrence is a flawed and dangerous strategy and that no family or child should be returned to their death. Instead of showing children compassion, these misguided policies have caused them further trauma. We as a country can and must do better than this. We believe that this bill is an important first step to fulfill our moral and legal obligation to do right by vulnerable children who urgently need our help. In addition to ensuring that all children and mothers have a lawyer, the bill ensures that all individuals in detention, including families with children, receive legal orientation programs so that they understand their rights. We're also very pleased that this bill creates a pilot program to help unaccompanied children better access legal counsel and get connected to the basic services that every healthy child needs, such as enrolling in school. In closing, I just want to say that as a bipartisan children's advocacy organization, our interest lies first and foremost in the welfare of kids. We're interested in seeing our legal system, hailed by many as the greatest in the world, do right by kids who come to our country looking for help. Every child, no matter where they come from, deserves a fair shot at safety and prosperity. While this bill won't fix the conditions that are driving thousands of unaccompanied minors to seek refuge in our country, it will address a major flaw in our legal system that continues to put the lives of innocent kids in peril. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy. And now for our final speaker, Carla, who, as I mentioned before, is a mother who is currently detained in Texas and is being represented by the CARA Pro Bono Project, which Ayla also supports. Carla, would you like to speak? And we have an interpreter who's also going to be assisting her.
Hi, Greg. This is Katie, and I'm here with Kendra. We're just going to ask a few questions of Carla. Carla was here, as you said, previously in 2014, but was removed from the United States and was unrepresented at that time. Carla, why did you flee Guatemala?
Porque tengo amenaza de que me secuestren a la niña y que me la van a matar.
I came to the United States because I received threats that they were going to kidnap my daughter and they were going to kill her.
Okay, and now is this the first time that you're in the United States?
¿Esta vez es la primera vez que usted estuvo en los Estados Unidos?
La segunda.
It's the second time.
And when were you here before?
¿Y cuándo estuvo aquí primero?
September 2014.
I was here in September 2014.
And were you represented by an attorney in September 2014?
Usted fue representado para un abogado en 2014.
No.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about the process when you were here in 2014?
En 2014, usted puede decirnos cómo fue estuvo cuando usted estaba detenido la primera vez. ¿Usted entendió qué está pasando? Or?
No.
Okay.
I followed up with, did you understand what was happening to you? And she said she did not.
Okay. And why did you flee Guatemala the first time?
¿Y por qué salió Guatemala la primera vez?
Porque estaban amenazando a toda mi familia.
Because they were threatening my entire family.
Okay. And
You did not have an attorney when you were here first in September 2014. Do you think that it would have changed your case if you'd had legal representation back the first time you were here?
Cuando usted no tenía representación en septiembre de 2014, ¿sí?
No.
¿Y usted cree que podría ayudar su caso antes si usted tenía un abogado?
Sí.
And when you were deported the first time in November of 2014, you had to return to Guatemala, is that right?
Cuando usted fue deportado la primera vez, usted tenía regresar a Guatemala?
Sí.
And did you receive additional threats of harm and death threats when you returned to Guatemala?
Y cuando usted regresó a Guatemala, usted recibió más amenazas?
Sí.
Against you and your daughter?
Contra de usted y su hija, ¿sí?
Sí.
Okay. Do you think it's important to have an attorney in this process?
¿Cree que es muy importante para tener un abogado durante este proceso?
Sí.
Why do you think it's important?
¿Por qué cree es importante?
Porque le ayuda a uno y como uno al venir a este país no sabe nada. Entonces okay. Es muy importante tener un abogado.
When you, they help a lot, and when you come to the United States, you don't know anything, and so it's really, they explain a lot, so it's really important to have an attorney.
Okay. Thank you, Carla.
Gracias, Carla.
Greg, were there any follow-up questions?
I don't think I will ask any questions, but I think her case will be of great interest to the reporters on the line, so I'm going to give them the opportunity to ask questions. And with that, all of our speakers have gone, so operator, I'm going to open up the queue for questions again, and operator, please give us the first one in the queue.
Certainly. And again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question today, please press the star and one on your touch tone phone. We'll go to Renee Feltz with The Guardian. Your line is open.
Thank you very much for taking my question. I wanted to ask Carla, if she could tell us a little bit more about where she is now, about her child that's with her as well, and about her experience now that she has a lawyer, I'm presuming.
Okay, la primera pregunta es, ¿puede descubrir dónde está ahora? Aquí. ¿Puede descubrir
We're just translating the question.
Ahora?
¿Cómo estoy?
¿Cómo está el lugar? ¿Dónde estamos?
Bien, bien.
Okay, it's good. Y la segunda parte es que usted, ¿cómo está su hija ahora aquí?
Bien, se siente bien.
Okay, so Carla, you're here in the United States now, presently with your daughter. Is that correct?
Sí. Usted está aquí en los Estados Unidos con su hija, ¿sí?
Sí.
Okay, and how old is your daughter?
¿Cuántos años tiene su hija?
Cuatro.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about the facility that you're in right now and who is representing you currently?
¿Usted puede descubrir el lugar, la facilidad donde está ahora?
Sí.
¿Cómo podría descubrirlo? No está bien. ¿Y su representación? ¿Usted tiene representación?
So do you have an attorney currently?
¿Usted tiene un abogado corriente?
Sí.
Yes. And the CARA Pro Bono Project is representing you currently, is that right?
La ECARA está la organización que está que son sus representantes.
Sí.
Okay, great. Is there any other clarifying question that we can ask her?
Renee,
sure.
Do you want to talk? Good.
Yes, thank you very much again. Has she been to court yet now that she's here again? And can she say what she understood about what was happening in court?
Okay, so Carla, when is your interview before the asylum office?
¿Cuándo es tu entrevista en frente de un oficial de asilo?
Mañana.
The interview tomorrow.
Okay, and have you been prepared for this interview by your attorney?
un abogado ha preparado usted para este entrevista.
Sí. And you understand the process now?
¿Y usted entiende el proceso ahora?
Sí. Okay, great. Ma'am, she hasn't had a hearing yet, so first the process starts with an interview before the asylum office, and hopefully we don't get a negative, which would lead to a hearing before the immigration judge.
Thank you very much. And just to clarify two things there, did you say her daughter, or did she say she was 4 years old? Is that right?
That's correct. She's currently four years old. The first time she was here in the country, she was 2 years old, which was 2 years ago.
Uh-huh. And is she in Dili or Karn?
She's currently detained in Dili in the South Texas Family Residential Center.
Thank you.
No problem.
I'm going to let the operator take the next question. Before I go there, I just wanted to clarify, Katie, if reporters want to follow up with you or with to ask more questions of Carla after this call, should they be in touch with you or through our communications department, Bell Woods and George Tamaris?
They can go ahead and just shoot me an email, katie@caraprobono.org, and maybe CC Bell.
Okay, we can provide that information later to the reporters.
Wonderful.
Operator, next question.
Next, we will go to Victor Ramos with Newsday. Your line is open.
Hi. I don't know if this question was asked in the beginning because I joined the call later, but I'm wondering on the bill that was mentioned, is there any indication that there's bipartisan support for it and that it's moving in any direction in the House?
This is Greg Chen from the American Immigration Lawyers Association. I think I can just answer that quickly. Right now, it has been sponsored by seven senators, all of whom are Democrats, Reed, Durbin, Murray, Menendez, Leahy, Franken, and Hirono. So it is not yet bipartisan, and they've just introduced it. You may have missed that Senator Menendez certainly hopes that this bill will move forward and that he also indicated it may be able to be included in must-pass legislation.
Can I follow up to that? Does that worry you as advocates that, you know, you only have one side of the aisle engage in this process at this point?
I'm happy to comment first, but the others may want to comment as well. Certainly having a bipartisan bill would strengthen it, but we are certainly pleased that seven senators were able to introduce this bill to begin with, and it is important landmark legislation in the fact that it expands the right to counsel and guarantees government paid for counsel for many individuals. So in that regard, it is a remarkable piece of legislation that we hope will gain more attention. And given the fact that there has been bipartisan concern about due process and protections for refugees and migrants, I hope this will attract bipartisan interest. Wendy, do you want to comment as well?
Sure. This is Young from KIND. I just want to say that I believe this is a very strong and very significant step forward, and the fact that the Senate minority leader introduced the legislation is critical. And as Senator Menendez says, we will be working with the co-sponsors to find strategic opportunities to move this legislation forward.
And this is Wendy Cervantes over at the First Focus Campaign for Children. As a bipartisan organization that frequently works across the aisle, we also believe that there's a lot of promise behind this bill. We know that there is interest on the Republican side to ensure that we're being responsible about the services and the follow-up that we provide children here in the United States. And we have also seen in the past both parties come together to support legislation that specifically focuses on the well-being of children impacted by immigration policies.
Thank you.
Thank you, Victor. Next question, operator.
Next, we will go to Luis Mascaro with Long Island Wings. Your line is open.
Hi, how are you? A clarification question for Carla. I'd like to know her last name.
Good morning, sir. We are not disclosing that information because the nature of her case, being asylum, it's of utmost importance to keep as much possible confidential.
And Carla is with a C or a K?
With a K.
Okay, and so the question for Carla will be if she can describe a little bit how is it to be living in Guatemala in the middle of violence in that country? And if I can ask that question to her in Spanish.
Oh, sure thing. We'll do that right now.
Él quiere saber si cómo está viviendo en Guatemala en un lugar de mucha violencia. ¿Puede hablar en este?
Sí, ¿cómo siente para vivir en Guatemala ahora?
Sí, hay mucha violencia porque allá matan a la gente, aparecen en las bolsas tiradas sus cabezas en un lado, manos, piernas en otro lado.
There's a lot of violence. They are killing a lot of people. Sometimes they are dismembered, and you can find pieces of body parts in different areas.
¿Quiere decir cómo se siente para usted?
Mal, porque da miedo vivir en Guatemala.
It's bad. It's bad because you're scared living in Guatemala.
¿Tiene familia allá en Guatemala? Does she have family or the relatives and children in Guatemala?
¿Tiene familia ahí?
Yes, all my family is there.
Okay, how many children besides Carla? Besides
My daughter is here with me. I don't have children there.
That will be it. Thank you.
Thank you. No more questions from Luis, I think. Operator, why don't we go to the next caller?
We have no questions in queue at this time, but as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. And it does appear we have a follow-up from Renee Feltz with The Guardian. Your line is open.
Thank you. At this time, just to ask more about the legislation that's being proposed here. Is there any sort of precedent for this? Has this been addressed before in previous bills that have been put forth?
Greg, would you like to answer that question?
I am happy to. This is Greg Chen from AILA. So there has been precedent for this. First of all, I should mention that current law already guarantees right to counsel in the Immigration Nationality Act. This new bill would expand that right, and we talked about how it does that, so I won't go into further details about it. But there have been previous bills introduced, and I'll mention just in 2013, the Senate Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill that passed the Senate included language that would have also strengthened the existing law to expand opportunities and right to counsel. What Senator Reid and the other's bill does today is it clarifies the different circumstances in which counsel would be guaranteed, such as for those in detention, for those who are in Border Patrol facilities. It also expands the right to government-paid-for counsel to several categories that I mentioned before, including unaccompanied children, including those who are particularly vulnerable, and for those in whose cases the efficient adjudication and fairness in the case would require appointment of counsel paid for by the government. So those are just a few new aspects that don't have precedent before. Wendy Cervantes or Wendy Young, do either of you want to amplify that?
So that was great. Thanks, Greg.
Operator, any further questions in the queue?
I do have one more questioner in the queue. It'll be a follow-up from Maria Pena with Law Opinion.
Yes, this is a question for Greg. I thought the current laws already guarantee access. The problem, the issue had been who puts the bill. And I was wondering, the current FY 2017 budget proposal does not include additional monies to hire more attorneys. So can you give us an update on what's been happening on the ground with the funding the administration gave last year to hire 100, Dutch teams under AmeriCorps, and how that's working out on the ground? Thank you.
I can start answering your question, Maria, but I think the other speakers might know a little bit more about the current status of those pilot programs providing counsel. So to answer just the first part, first of all, to clarify, yes, the existing law, particularly under Section 292, does guarantee access to counsel. But it, as you said, it doesn't require the appointment of counsel by the government and paid for by the government. With respect to the existing law and the access to counsel, the new bill proposed today does clarify and affirm the types of situations where a person would have the right to have counsel, including for those detained and those in Border Patrol facilities as just one context. Also for people who are subject to expedited procedures like expedited removal, which happens frequently to people that are arriving at the border, including the families that are detained, and many of the children with their mothers are put through these quick proceedings. And the bill would say if they want to have a lawyer with them, they have a right to have a lawyer. And, for example, Katie, who is the legal director in Texas for this CARA project, oftentimes they have a lot of difficulty getting access to the women in detention. So this bill would help that. Yes, and on footing the bill, that is a new a completely new provision that does not exist anywhere in law, and it's important that the government would be required to pay for counsel for these new categories. There are some small pilot projects being run out of the Department of Justice as Executive Office for Immigration Review, which runs the courts, as well as from the Corporation for National Community Service. There's also a pilot program being run through the Department of Health and Human Services, specifically focused on children. That's where my knowledge stops, and I'm hoping either Wendy or Wendy would be able to add more detail.
This is Wendy Young from KIND. Thanks, Greg. And just a point of clarification, the last year appropriations were enacted that support the hiring of 55 new immigration judge teams, which the question asked about, and that's an important step in that that will enable the Department of Justice to address the case backlog in the immigration courts, which is now in excess of 450,000 cases. The second part of it, as Greg alluded to, there's a program that the Department of Justice also supports, which facilitates the provision of lawyers to unaccompanied children. One of those programs is done in partnership with AmeriCorps. That program is up and running. It's provided roughly 100 attorneys across the country, and we have every hope that that program will be sustained through additional appropriations by Congress. But I think the legislation is critical in really making sure that this entire gap is addressed. Right now what we're seeing are these very important but piecemeal efforts on the part of HHS and Justice Department and AmeriCorps.
Mm-hmm. Wendy Cervantes, did you want to add to that? Any other comments?
No, I think you guys got it. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Any other reporters or questions in the queue, operator?
There are no questions in queue at this time.
Okay, unless we have somebody else joining, then I'm going to go ahead and bring this call to a close. Thank you again to all the speakers, Wendy Young and Wendy Cervantes, and of course Senator Menendez, and especially to Carla, whose name is a pseudonym, the mother who's been detained in Texas, for sharing her story with all of us today. And given the circumstances she's been under, I think it was courageous for her to come forward and talk about her situation. As Katie Shepherd, the legal director in CARA, mentioned, if you want to get in touch with her, we can provide that information to you. Contact Bell Woods in our communications department. That's bwoods@aila.org. So with that, thank you to everybody who has joined the call, and we're going to bring the call to a close.